Okay, so I'm going to start today with a question that is for the kids, but also for everybody. Raise your hand if you ever find the Bible confusing or hard to understand. Okay, kids, look around. I think pretty much most or all hands are raised. Today's story from Matthew is a particularly confusing story. I was looking at the lectionary this week, and Heather was like, we're going to do the gospel reading, right? And I looked at it, and I was like, yes. What do you notice? And I'll, again, open this up to everybody, but especially I'd love to hear from the kids. If anything jumped out to you as something that feels hard or confusing in our gospel passage that we read today, you can call it out or raise your hand, either one. Anything that feels hard or confusing? Not washing your hands. Not so bad. What else? Yeah. Jesus seems to kind of call that woman a dog. Ooh, that's right. That doesn't feel right. Anything else? Lori. She's calling out, have mercy, and he says nothing. What is that about? It seems like a very different Jesus in our story today. So there are people who look at this passage throughout time, and especially now, who say, well, maybe Jesus and the woman were just joking around. Maybe they were just having a good laugh. That's one way some people explain this. There's other people who read this passage and say, yeah, Jesus was a man of his time and had prejudice. He was what we might today call a racist. Is that right? Maybe the woman taught him something? How does that fit with Jesus not having committed sin? How do these things go together? So I want to give you a tip. Yeah, come on up. A tip. One thing to keep in mind when you find a difficult passage of Scripture is to use other easier to understand passages to help interpret it, help understand it. So when I read Matthew, I read a couple of things in Matthew. One, Jesus always treats women really well, and usually way better than other people in the culture do. And two, he's always treating Gentiles, or people who aren't Jewish, really well too. So I have a hard time believing that Jesus is a different person here than in the rest of Matthew. I think there's something else that's going on. So I'm going to go back and have us read this passage together in teams. Yeah, that got your attention. Anybody like sports in here? A few. Not as many as some churches, but a few. Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna have a little friendly rivalry today. On this side, yeah. Anybody want to change to the disciples' side? No? Okay. This is team disciples. Ooh, we got a big team over here. This is going to be team Canaanite. Ooh. All right, team disciples, not too late to change, guys. Team disciples, you do not like team Canaanite. You are Jewish. You are God's chosen people. They are Gentiles. Oh, they're unclean. If you cross the aisle, they'll make you unclean. So be careful. And they're Canaanites. They are the enemy. They're the people God told you to drive out of the land a long time ago. You remember that? Be careful, because right now you are in Tyre and Sidon. These are infamous bad Gentile cities. They're cities also that have taken your food and your land and taken more than their fair share. So you don't have the home team advantage. You're on their turf. You're in their stadium, all right? Okay, team Canaanite, you do not like team disciples. They have been trying to take your land for thousands of years, and you were there first. That doesn't seem fair, does it? And when they came, they killed a good chunk of your ancestors. That doesn't sound very nice. And they still think they're the victims. After all this time, there is a big thinker who influenced your part of the world named Aristotle. I know Mr. Bradley knows that name, Aristotle. And Aristotle calls everyone like them, everyone who's not like you guys, barbarians. So if you ever need to look at them and just say, ooh, barbarians, So that's Team Canaanite. Okay, you got it? Team Disciple, Team Canaanite. So I'm going to read a little bit through the passage, and I'm going to prompt you to react like your team would react, okay? So leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Uh-oh. Yeah, Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman. Canaanite? Come on, Canaanites, wake up. Yeah. She came to Jesus crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." You guys would be like, "What?" I think you guys would be like, "What? Son?" Yeah, exactly. Because she's saying Son of David as if she were Jewish. She's coming to him as if she were one of the chosen people. Here's another thing. She's a woman. Guess what women in that time did not do? Talk to men in public. So you guys would say, "Ooh, shame." And you guys too would say, "Ooh, shame." Come, yes. So that's the reaction to this enemy Gentile woman. Jesus did not answer a word. Disciples might say, "Yeah, that's about right." Canaanites might say, "Yeah, that's about right. Men don't talk to women. He's being a good man, right? So can you say with me, yeah, that's about right." But then the disciples, she's making a big scene. Rah, 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 rah. So you say, "Jesus, send her away." That's right. Jesus says, "I was sent only to minister to the lost sheep of Israel." You guys say, Canaanites might say, "Pugh." Ooh, Stan's going, "Pugh." Yeah. But the woman comes and kneels before Jesus. Can you imagine that? Like me, maybe I'll kneel for this part. She kneels before Jesus and says, "Lord, help me." I think both sides at this point are going, "Oh." Can you make your best shocked face? "Oh, yeah." And then Jesus says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The disciples are probably going, "Yeah, you tell her, Jesus. Yeah." Because everyone you know talks about Gentiles like that. Canaanites. This one's a tricky one, because I think we could imagine going, "Ugh." But you might also have said, "Wait, that's our line." Because you had said similar things about them. Remember that whole Aristotle thing? They were the barbarians. And like I said earlier, you had been taught that these guys were your social inferiors. You had the power. They had taken your stuff, and now you were back on top, taking their stuff. So I think you probably kind of agree with what Jesus says, but you see yourselves as the children, not the dogs. So Jesus, in some ways, is saying something everyone can agree about, but it's about the other side, right? Now, the most surprising thing of all is what the woman says next. Jesus has just said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." She says, "Yes, it is, Lord. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." That is an extremely witty response. She could be on Saturday Night Live for this. Because if you've had a dog, you know, anything hits on that floor, they are scooping it up. So she's saying, "You know what, Lord, I reject that logic or I accept it, but here's this other thing." So I imagine everyone's like, "Oh, what's he going to say next?" The text doesn't say this, but I imagine that what Jesus did is laugh. Yeah, he says, "That's a good one. That is a good one." I think he was delighted. I know he was delighted in her response. He says next, and there aren't many people he says this about, "Woman, you have great faith." The other person he said that about in the book was the Gentile centurion. These two people outside of Team Disciples who have great faith. And in that moment, her daughter is healed. We kind of forgot about the daughter with all of this drama, but the daughter is healed. So not only does she have great faith, she seems to recognize something real theologically. This Canaanite woman, recognizes something real, that salvation came first to the Jewish people, but from there it was going to go into the whole world. We hadn't quite gotten to that bit of the story yet. It's like she jumped in from the future to get that blessing. So, do you see a little bit what Jesus did in this story? The kids may not, and that's fine. The grown-ups. Do you see what he did in the way he interacted with the Canaanite woman? He exposed the prejudice of both teams. He stood in the middle and said, oh, each of you has your way of thinking, especially the disciples. He just said this thing about what makes you clean or unclean, right? And then he puts it to the test. They don't get it, but he dismantles the whole thing right there in the middle. He gives them a living illustration of what it means that it is sin that makes us unclean. Not unwashed hands, still wash your hands, don't get me wrong. But God doesn't love you any more or less based on the state of your hands. In other words, this woman was not more unclean as a Gentile than they were. They were both infected with that sin of hating the other team. So I want you to turn at each other. Just look at this team. Just look at this team. Yeah, look at the team, not your own team. Look at the other team. Just imagine team disciple, team Canaanite in this room, kind of looking at each other and wrestling with what Jesus just did. I also love that the story that comes right after this is another feeding of the masses, the 4,000. There's some scholars that think that this was also kind of in Gentile territory, in which case it's not just crumbs that go to the Gentiles. It's a whole feast. That God's mercy is intended to extend to the whole world and to disrupt the things that we turn into teams and do to hate each other, including things like race and skin color and ethnicity and religions and which nation you're from and whether you root for the Cubs or the White Sox. None of that stuff gains us any points in the kingdom of God. Paul writes this later on in Galatians. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So let's take a moment to pray. And I'm going to invite the kids to get into a prayer posture. Maybe that means you want to hold on to that cross. Maybe that means you want to sit quietly on one of those circles. And we're not going to pray a long time. Unless, no, never mind. But we're going to just pray and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts for a minute. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for how good you are. I thank you for the gentle way in which you speak to us and in which you invite us to a better way. I pray for each of us here that you would be at work in our own hearts to take out things that make us not love our neighbors or you. And I pray that you would teach us more and more how to be like you in a world that so desperately needs the undoing of teams and enemies. Help us love the way that you did. Thank you very much. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good job. Thanks, guys.